You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Kyle Goon of the Salt Lake Tribune, beat writer covering the University of Utah. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Great. How are you doing today, Grant?
I'm doing all right, you know. A little cold today here in Salt Lake. I'd like to see
some sunshine,
but...
snap breaks quick here.
Yeah, seriously. You know, we're deep into the college football season. You know, we've got like a third left, I think it is, and the college football ranking just came out. How do you think where do you feel Utah sits in regards to the college football playoff? And do you feel that they control their own destiny, or do they need a bunch of things to happen to have any shot at, you know, a New Year's Six?
I think they control their own destiny as long as they win. You know, I think USC is going to be a competitive team for the rest of the year, and that's their only loss. I mean, Utah just kind of has to go down the gauntlet and win, and I think they'll be in. I mean, you know, they were number three at one time, so obviously they've been held in high regard. You know, maybe against some of the opponents down the road, I think you have to kind of spike Arizona and spike Colorado and win those games probably by a lot. That would help and certainly influence the appeal to the committee. I think it is kind of what you're looking at. I do think they control their own destiny for the most part. I think if there's a one-loss Pac-12 championship, Pac-12 champion, whether it's Stanford or Utah, I think that team will probably get in.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think a one-loss Pac-12 champ should definitely make it into the playoff. You know, one of the things that I think a lot of people hold against the Utes is their offense and the ability to put away opponents that they should. You know, some fans weren't too happy about the Oregon State outcome, even though they didn't win big enough. But, you know, the offense has been an interesting thing. You know, Devontae Booker is consistent, but what is going on with the Utah passing offense, in your opinion, to keep it at 11th in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just sort of been a combination of factors. I don't think anyone would have told you going into the season that Utah's receiving core was certainly set in stone. I mean, you know, that was always my biggest question. And I said it, you know, back at the start of camp, I said, well, I'm not sure who their weapons are. And, you know, obviously Britton Covey has kind of stepped it up. Ken Scott has had a few good games. But beyond that, I mean, I don't know if they're really consistent receiving threats in the passing game. And I think that's a huge part of it. But also, I think that, you know, Travis is kind of shown over the years that, you know, obviously he you know, will come to play, but, you know, he's been a little inconsistent. I feel pretty confident saying that now. You know, he's about to make his 35th career start, and Travis kind of is what he is. And sometimes he's going to have a good game, and sometimes he's going to have a not-so-good game. And you know, I think, you know, games like USC showed his confidence can definitely be rocked a little bit, and he can kind of maybe get bogged down when he's having a tough time. But, you know, then again, I mean, a game like Arizona State where, you know, he played really great and was able to kind of single-handedly make Utah offense work. He's definitely capable of having good performances too. So it's just kind of hard to know week to week what version of Travis is going to manifest. He usually starts out pretty well if you look at his stats, but, you know, just sort of in the middle of the game, if he struggles, he can continue to struggle. If he you know, does well, he can kind of get on a roll. So it's just, I think those two factors combined are the biggest influence on why you see Utah's passing game is up and down this season.
I mean, you bring in wide receivers, Scott and Covey, who have been consistent and have been playmakers. when targeted and being able to chance to make a play. Do you think it might be just a lack of speed and playmaking ability on the lines of the rest of the wide receiver corps?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit implied. You know, I mean, it's not that Utah doesn't have really good athletes at receiver. They do, but it's just, I mean, it's just such a particular combination of talents that you need to be a competitive and consistent wide receiver. And you know, I think it's fair to say also that, you know, maybe Utah has maybe not gotten some of the production out of guys they helped. I mean, you know, Tim Patrick, his injury, I think it's actually pretty serious. And I kind of wonder if he's going to be able to come back to football. And that's kind of a miss for Utah's offense this year. I think we're hoping that Tim Patrick could come back and be a consistent guy. And, you know, then a couple other guys, I mean, Delshon McClellan hasn't really been productive to this point in his career. You know, Kenrick Young, I think, still trying to figure out his way. Raylan Singleton, he's kind of he's been, you know, hampered by injuries. And it's just kind of tough to predict how some of those guys are going to turn out. Then you kind of take Dominique Hatfield, who was a good receiver, or at least a solid receiver, switch him over to defense, and he's one of your best defensive players. I mean, I think that shows they have athleticism, but they just maybe in the long term, taking the long view, some of the guys haven't turned out as well as they hoped.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because this week they're going against one of the top defenses in the Pac-12 in Washington. Do you think the Utes will be able to, in the end, move the ball and score enough points to make that a game or to win that game?
Yeah, I think they'll certainly be in it. And I think, you know, I think this projects as a low-scoring game, you know, just with the two defenses involved. As you mentioned, Washington has some amazing playmakers in their secondary to the point where they have, I believe, four guys who are top 10 in the Pac-12 in pass breakups, which is just an amazing stat. But, yeah, I think it projects to be a low-scoring game. So I think, you know, the key is just going to be probably a little bit of clock control. You know, Utah's slowed down their tempo a little bit. They obviously have a great running back. And it's probably going to be just a handful of big plays that Utah's going to have to rely on to be able to beat Washington. They just need some breakdown somewhere, sort of like what you saw against Oregon State with Harrison Hanley, or, you know, maybe Booker breaks one. I think that's going to be – they're probably going to need two or three of those to be able to beat Washington, but I certainly think they're plenty capable of beating Washington.
Yeah, I mean, from, you know, the line at Vegas, a 1.5-point underdog Utah is right now, and that's, I mean, that's a coin flip. So it should be a pretty entertaining game. Another battle that I don't know that I've seen a lot of people talking about is the coaching battle between Peterson and Whittingham. I mean, Peterson, including his Boise State days, is like has one of the highest winning percentages of all coaches in college football. And then Whittingham's, you know, being nominated and talked about as a potential Coach of the Year candidate. I mean, how do you think the coaching battle is the headline, or should we even be talking about it?
Oh, well, I mean, I wrote a story on Monday about this. You know, Kyle Whittingham has really struggled against Chris Peterson. And obviously that was a little bit of a different context. It was Chris Peterson was at Boise State. And you could argue that when Kyle played him in 2006 and 2010, those were two of his best teams that he had. I mean, you know, the 2016, you know, that was the one that beat Oklahoma, all the Statue of Liberty play, the hook and ladder. I mean, they did all kinds of stuff, and they were undefeated that year. And then in 2010, they were really one field goal away from being able to potentially compete for the national championship. I think they were number three at their highest point, and then they somehow ended up in the Las Vegas Bowl. So, yeah, it's just it's kind of been maybe an unfortunate deal for Kyle that, you know, he's had to face Chris Peterson in those years. But that being said, I mean, I think it's kind of clear that to this point he's had the upper hand, and he's a guy who can pull out a couple bags of tricks when he needs to. You saw them do it against USC, had a wide receiver score the only touchdown pass. So, I mean, it's an interesting deal. I think you're probably going to see one or two specials, as they call them. We call them trick plays. They call them specials. I think you're probably going to see a few of those between those two guys. And they're going to try and bring it to win. I mean, the stakes are pretty high for both, where, Utah has to maintain its one game lead in the South, and Washington is trying to get bowl eligible, and they need two wins to do that. So it's going to be pretty interesting, I think, to see what those guys pull out and try to do to win the game.
Well, do you think the whole keeping the one game lead in the South is building up, pressure onto the youth players and performing on a week in and week out basis?
I don't think that's as much pressure as it was when it was an undefeated season. I mean, I think that's, if anything, okay, that's pretty tough for those guys to maintain. And obviously, if you're still undefeated at this point, there's significant pressure. You kind of have to keep your guys grounded. There's media attention. I think some of that has definitely died down in the last 2 weeks for those guys. And to some degree, it might be a little easier for them to kind of concentrate on what they need to do, which is to win out. And they don't have to be concerned about, being perfect anymore, measuring up to 2004 or 2008. But they can still do something that those teams never did. So it's really interesting. I'm not certain that that's exactly how they're feeling, but there's definitely been less media attention. There's definitely, I think there was a sort of a refocus button hit, once they lost that game. And, there may be less pressure than there was before USC, even though it's a shorter lead and even though they still have to win out.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a, like I said, Utah's a 1.5-point underdog. Do you have a prediction for it?
Yeah, I think Utah will win. I would expect them to win if I had to pick one. I think it is probably going to be a pretty close game. Utah has very rarely pulled away from anybody. I mean, Oregon is the one exception, and that's looking more like an aberration at this point in the season than sort of the hard and fast rule. So I think Utah will keep it close. I would guess that it's a low scoring game. Of course, I also said before Oregon, well, Utah will probably want to keep that low scoring. So what do I know really? But, it's just, I think it'll be close, but I would expect Utah to win. I mean, they have the experience factor is very great. I mean, Washington is very young. They have a young quarterback, which I think we've shown this Pac-12 season that it's kind of a boom or bust deal. I mean, you look at what has happened to Josh Rosen at UCLA and Jake Browning has had some ups and downs and it's a little bit, you live and die by your freshman quarterback and Travis, for all that he isn't, he is a senior and he is experienced. And I think you would expect him to play at least a consistent, efficient level. And I think you would expect Utah's defense to try and take advantage of having, a freshman quarterback, a freshman running back, two freshman tackles. I think Utah's going to figure out ways to twist that to their advantage.
All right, well, those are all the main questions I have for you today, Kyle. I have one more. This being the Torn by Sports lunch break, I'm wondering, what is your favorite spot for lunch in Salt Lake?
I think it would have to be Oh My, the Vietnamese sandwich shop on State Street. I think they have the best sandwich in Salt Lake, bar none. So they have obviously a great menu. It's very popular. They have a couple locations too, but is you got to know to order off menu. That's what I say. They have this sandwich that is made with the beef brisket from the pho, and it's very like moist and kind of fall apart tender. And if you order the pho brisket banh mi, that's what you got to get there. So that's the number one sandwich in Salt Lake for sure.
All right. I have not been there. I will be going there shortly on what you've just told me. So
come on, get on it.
Yeah. Well, I will get on it. I admit my failure on this part. My bad. I'll do better. but hey, Kyle, thanks for coming on, and look forward to catching up with you as, you know, football season progresses and as basketball season starts up here shortly.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.